Holy One, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, the actions of our lives, all be nourishing bread for the world. Amen. Doesn't that smell good? The smell of homemade bread. We were in the Maritimes last week. And this, of course, is the home of famous, at least it's famous in the circle that my family travels in, Maritime brown bread. First day we got there, Mary had to go in search of Maritime brown bread. Where Trina grew up, molasses is king. And not just any molasses. Crosby's Fancy Molasses. Yeah, see? And the people applauded. Not to mention molasses candy, molasses cookies, and Maritime brown bread. Nothing quite like a good lunch of wholesome soup with some homemade bread. Now that soothes the stomach and the soul. And what do you put on Maritime brown bread? Well, of course, butter and molasses. It's wonderful. I have probably a million bread associations in my life. You probably do too. I remember coming home from elementary school with my friend Pat, who was the 70s version of the latchkey kid. He could go home to an empty house, or he could come with me. And we would go home, and as we walked in the door, you'd have this smell of freshly baked bread. A thick slice with butter, and Pat was transported. I have, at times in my life, had what I fondly call the monster on top of the fridge. Did you ever have a monster in a bowl? Just sitting there, sourdough starter, just sitting there doing its thing, and then you take the sourdough starter and you mix it in to make sourdough bread. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, okay. We called it the monster. Tasty, aromatic, chewy bread, hey? And then there's the time when I went with my friend Lily Grimmett to her summer house up the hill behind the little town of Burton in the Kootenays, one of the places I served my very first pastoral charge. Lily was 80 years old, and she wanted to show me the place she'd grown up. Because she would open this home, this little log homestead, for about 3 or 4 months a year, and she would go and she would stay up there by herself, even into her 80s. And she hadn't opened the place up yet when we arrived. We went up, drove up this long two-track driveway up from the main road where the grass was cleaning the bottom of the car as you went. Gray weathered house on a hill surrounded by hay fields and old lilac bushes and a few old apple trees. It was this lovely little old rustic log home with a bent sheet metal pantry and an enamel sink. I was intrigued by the pantry, this bent sheet metal thing, and it was like a secretary, you know, with the drop down front. I unlatched the front and I dropped it down, and you could have knocked me over with a feather. There, in the pantry, was a loaf of bread in a plastic bag. I couldn't believe it. And as I exclaimed, Lily came over and said, "Oh dear, I must have left that when I closed up in September. It was May." That loaf of bread had been there for nearly 9 months. So gingerly, I lifted the bag out of the bread box. It was Wonder Bread. And it was a wonder to behold. Not a spot of blue and furry on it at all. It was white and soft and utterly without blemish or mold. It was still squishy. It wasn't even hard. And I just kind of shiver at the thought of the chemicals in this loaf of bread and the process of disinfecting and irradiating required to make it appear fresh after braving three seasons in the bread box. Looks like bread, claims to be bread, but its association with the stuff that I grew up smelling on my as I got home from school, the stuff of maritime brown bread, the stuff that you make from the monster on top of the fridge, was an entirely different species. This was lab-made bread, not homemade bread. A sham in the bread world, a cheap fake to anyone raised on fresh out of the oven at home bread. This Sunday's gospel lesson comes from the section of John's gospel where the author gathers together bread stories. The bread stories of Jesus. And just before today's reading, we had a bread story about the feeding of 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. This week, the people are reminded of how Moses fed in the wilderness with manna, and Jesus refers to himself as bread of life. These are stories that are meant to be read on at least 2 levels at the same time. The level, of course, of our physical hunger for real bread that will perish if you leave it for more than a few days. But that nourishes you in your body. And on the level of our many other hungers, our emotional hungers, our mental hungers for knowledge, our spiritual hungers for that place where we come round right in our lives. Augustine, that prolific patriarch and writer of the church, once said, "You hast created us for yourself, O God, so that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." There is a restlessness, a hunger. It's that restlessness, that hunger, that propels thousands of people, that 2,000 years ago propelled them into the desert in search of Jesus, known to offer healing. And when they found that their bellies were filled, they pursued him that the food for the belly would also feed the other hungers. They pursued him for all those other reasons that they were hungry. It was and is a deeper hunger, a hunger of the spirit and the soul that he then focuses on in his teaching. A hunger for healing and meaning, human connection, for a clear sense that we are loved, for serenity, for justice. It's this hunger that propels us today, that permeates powerful forces within today's culture, the very same hungers that could easily sidetrack and make us think that our deep hunger can be satisfied by things that we buy or things that we seek to entertain us or the way that we look or financial security that we might achieve. It's deep hungers that propel us to seek these things. Consumerism is one of the ways that we seek to satisfy a spiritual hunger. It's the restlessness of our hearts that convinces us to supersize it, to build a bigger and bigger home. It is restless longing that calls many to search the internet for community in an attempt to feel loved and connected. Our restless longing often comes in the form of an addiction. It gnaws at you, and we seek to satisfy it. It gets expressed in the misled belief that we need to be funnier or more attractive or smarter or wealthier or more successful in order to fill that restlessness. But the restlessness in the human heart and soul will never be fully and finally stilled by any object, any project, any person, any place. The longing is eternal. I believe it's God-given. It's the place in human experience in which humanity and divinity are, I believe, most intimately connected. And it is actually profoundly good. Without the yearning that resides at our core, we would lose our sense of vitality, our creativity, our search for meaning. When you think about human development, what an amazing thing it is. What an amazing story that propels humanity through time. Our search and our longing is about an but an eternal echo of what I believe is a divine longing, which has created us and which sustains us every day. Our lives are a part of a divine longing for life that is free and full. Your life, think about that, is part of a divine longing for life that is free and full and abundant. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he's saying, that longing that propels you out into the desert or into church or sometimes propels you into the mall or onto the internet is only ultimately satisfied in another way, in the way of deep goodness and richness and blessing and grace. The bread you smell and the bread we taste in a few minutes are a tangible expression of the sweet, tender, wholesome, satisfying, unconditional love and blessing that God longs for you to know. So when you come to the table this morning, when you come forward, bring your blessed longing. Think about what you long for. Let it roll around in your mind, in your heart, in your soul as you come. You may have tried to satisfy these longings in a variety of different ways. But as you come, know that that longing that you have is a part of divine longing, that God wants to be satisfied. And receive the bread, receive the cup, and be filled with grace and blessing. Amen.